Good morning. I want to welcome you again to another powerful hour of WOW Women of Warren County Outreach and Teaching Ministry. I am Apostle Michelle King, founder and overseer of WOW Ministry. I thank God for you for taking the time to be with us again as we continue our study in spiritual warfare and laying the foundation in spiritual warfare. It is truly the day that the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. We're progressing along in spiritual warfare, and I bless God for what we've gotten thus far and what the Lord is doing. If you've been on the line in previous recordings and understanding where we are, the route that God has given us is a little bit different than what the traditional way of teaching about spiritual warfare. But one thing we do know, that we have an enemy, and that enemy wants to level our lives to the ground. He wants to make sure that we go forward and do nothing that God has ordained us to do. But I bless God that we have the grace of God, which is the supernatural ability to do what is humanly is possible. Because our God is God, and he is the God of the supernatural. And because we are children of God and sons of God, we died and resurrected and even ascended in Christ. So what God has given Christ, his son, freely his son has given unto us, which is the ability to defeat the enemy no matter what direction he come in. I honor God for those that are obedient and to be just a blessing to this ministry. If you will, we were in Exodus 30, 22 through 25, and we were dealing with the five ingredients that make up the anointing of God. And briefly, we're just going to touch on a little bit from the last lessons that we taught about. Myrrh, which is designed to kill our flesh. Amen. And we know that our flesh must die if we're going to be purged and vessels of honor, that we're going to go forward and be a blessing to God. We know that our flesh must die, and we must crucify our flesh every single day of our lives. Then the next ingredient was cinnamon, which that means obedience. And I tell you, that was a lesson that I absolutely enjoyed the last couple of weeks, obedience. I was so delighted in some of the things that the Lord said to us in obedience. And even right there, I'm going to stop right there in obedience and go back over just a few things that the Lord said in obedience. And one of the particular things that I will never forget about obedience, and because we're children of God and we have the tendency to want to know more than what we need to know, we need to just simply obey God, was the illustration about the general who had three soldiers that was on deck. And he said, drop. And two of the soldiers fell to the ground immediately in obedience, and the other one stayed standing and looking around to see why it ended up being killed. I remember saying to you all a while back, obedience is not an option. It's not an option. Obedience can save your life. So we want to be obedient to the things of God, and we know that obedience are life and death choices, according to Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28, and Proverbs 30 and 17, and Proverbs 29 and 1. All of these scriptures are reference to obedience saving your life. We know that to obey means Shammai, S-H-A-M-I, A-M, sorry, that means to hear intelligently, to consider and consent with contentment, to diligently discern and preserve, perceive with the ear or give ear to. So we want to be obedient. If you notice the ingredients and the way the Holy Spirit set it up, first of all, your flesh got to die in order to obey. And a lot of reasons why we don't find ourselves flowing in high levels of anointing or moving on to the next level of anointing is two or three things, or we're going to find five things. We have not died to our flesh daily. We've not yielded to God daily. Or we have not obeyed God in the first thing he's asked us to do, or in previous things, or even in the thing that he asked us to do right now. So obedience is truly, truly important. As ministers of God, all legitimate authority comes from God. We know that. God is the one who set up rulers and take them down. We don't get to set up rulers and set our own thing in place. We don't get to do our own thing. In other words, God is the one that does that. And we gave scriptures in reference to that. All ministers of God know that their authority comes from God alone. Psalm 75 and 7, Romans 13, 1 and 2, and then Romans 13, 4 and 6. And you can also go back to previous teachings that we did extensively on obedience. It will serve you good to continuously listen to those recordings. It's now. And then we talked about two ways to obey, and we gave the illustration of that now obedience. When God says it, just simply do it. Amen. And then when we hear the voice of God, we need to obey. John 10 and 27, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. Sheep do not follow a strange voice because they know the voice of God. And the voice of God is so very important in this season. Again, it is so much going on in the world. The news, when you turn the news on, I haven't watched the news in a very long time, but I began to watch the TV in the last couple of days, and the devastation, the war, the flooding, the earthquake, the sinkholes, all of these things are pointing for end time. And the church is not sensitive to the voice of the Lord speaking to us. Glory be to God. So we become dull of hearing, and God does not want us there. He wants us to be able to hear and discern and perceive his voice. So we need to obey God. And then we talked about the motive of obedience. Why do you obey God? One, because we want to love and we want to keep. Love means because we love God, we're going to keep his commandments, is what the word of God says. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgment and his commandments always. True obedience must be based on love. We do it because we love God. We do it simply because we love God. Our motive to obedience is love and keep. Scripture reference for that, Deuteronomy 11, 1. John 14 and 15. 1 John 5 and 3. And then when it comes down to keep, we want to use John 14 and 21. Deuteronomy 11 and 18. Deuteronomy 11 and 13, Deuteronomy 11 and 27. Also, we want to be wise. Obedient people are wise people. 1 Kings 3 and 9 talks about Solomon to ask for whatever he wanted, and he asked for an understanding heart. He asked for a wise heart. And so we want to be wise. The word of the Lord even talks about a wise man win souls. This is what all of this is about. So we want to be wise. We want to be able to hear the heartbeat of God and wisely say what the Lord would have us to say concerning that. Also, you need to understand, and just to refresh about defining jurisdictions of obedience. We know that when it comes down to jurisdictions, that we talked about four places when it comes down to jurisdiction, when it comes to obedience, you know. And when I say that, what I mean by that is that when there are conflict and commandments between different authorities, or when someone in authority tell us what to do, we know morally is wrong. We must discern whether that person that's telling us to do is giving us a commandment to operate within or out of our proper jurisdiction. First of all, I cannot come in and override Sister Shamika when it comes down to her children. She's the parent. So she has parental jurisdiction. That's the first one. Parental jurisdiction, Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Governmental jurisdiction. God has already ordained government to carry out his will in matters of justice. So when it comes down to governmental jurisdiction, that would be Romans 13, 3 and 4. Civil authorities come from power, which is from God. Amen. Therefore, citizens are to make wise appeals to contest unwise and unjust laws. Let me tell you about this. This is something to be prayed on in a major way, because someone emailed me some information about Mississippi particularly Hinds County, along with several other counties, they are acknowledging, they have not passed it yet, but they are acknowledging gay marriages in the state of Mississippi, which means they will go on the records in our court house that these people are in the state of Mississippi and we recognize them as married couples, but we are not issuing out licenses for gay and lesbians to be married. They are not given any particular rights or anything like that. So when it comes down to unwise or unjust or things like that, as it relates to God's plan, that is not of God. And therefore, we pray. We have a right, our governmental jurisdiction, to pray against that, that God's perfect and divine will be done. And that would be based off the scripture. And then as ministers of the gospel, we talked about ecclesia, or called out, set one, the church have jurisdiction. The head of households are voluntarily submitted to the leadership of the wives and godly elders in the church. Elders cannot go beyond our jurisdiction by instructing wives and children to disregard the guidance and the wishes of the father as long as his instruction is consistent with scripture. And that's in Galatians 4, 1 and 2. In other words, what they mean is that the church have no business getting into the affairs of the family unless the family bring that to us, and then we can instruct according to the word of God. And this place right here, I learned, I was ignorant in this area. And so I was operating out of my jurisdiction by voluntarily putting myself in situations concerning your personal life. So when you know better, you do better. And then the fourth place is vocation or jobs. You know, as employees are to obey employers, employees are to obey employers wholeheartedly with service. If an employer requires action that violates the biblical convictions of an employee, the employee should make a wise appeal and then leave. If the appeal is rejected, he should consider resigning. Acts 5 and 29 of Colossians 3, 22 through 23. And so these are areas that when we, and I have been in places of conviction in my own workplace because I was solid and moral things with God, I was not going to go there. Amen. And then we ask the list of questions to do a personal evaluation about, are you obedient? And I'm not going to go into those questions, but you should know by now if we are obedient to the things of God. So the next ingredient that we're going to talk about is going to be the sugar cane or cane, and that represents brokenness. The calamus or the cane is sweet plant that is about 10 feet high in Asia in marshy places. When it is crushed or broken, it gives a sweet fragrance. The more it's broken, more of the fragrance is released. In the spiritual application of the sugar cane, it represents brokenness. So the more we die to our flesh, the more we obey God, we begin to break in those areas. And God wants us to be broken. He because there's a valuable oil on the inside of you that God wants to flow out of you. Everybody knows the story in Mark 14 about the woman with the alabaster box. And she worked a long, long time. One theologian said that she worked 300 days. It would have been a year's worth of saving, year after year, day after day, week after week, hour after hour, working to bring forth the oil in the alabaster box. And then she got to a place where Christ was getting ready to be offered up for a sacrifice, that she threw the alabaster box on the ground and it broke in many pieces. As long as you are whole and put together according to what you think, God will never be able to get the precious oil out of you. It's not until we're thrown down, this is what brokenness means, smitten, thrown down, crumbled, crushed, bruised, broke into pieces. Somebody say, ouch. That's the only time God is going to be able to get what he has placed in us, hidden in us, that's the only time he's going to be able to get that precious, rare oil out of us. Amen. I have said it so many times. Anybody that refused to be broken refused to be made. Even in Jeremiah 18, the word of the Lord said he looked at the vessel and he did not like what the vessel looked like. And so he broke it into pieces and he went back and took his hands and he reshaped and he remolded. He stuck his hand deep down in the clay and he turned it. He added water for the dryness and he turned it and turned it on the wheel and he turned it and shaped it and molded into what he needed to be. That wasn't an easy process. If we looked at that from a natural sense with a body where we're being made and somebody is poking you and rubbing you hard and a massage and around your neck and all of those areas, squeezing and pushing out those impurities in you and all of that, you are very, very, very sore. Amen. And so by the time all of that get released out of you, or by the time the potter look at the vessel again, call a plate or a bowl or a cup, when he looks at it, it's shaped and molded into where what he wants it to be. The handle is there for you to get a grip. Come on, somebody. Glory be to God. It's wide enough to be poured into. Hallelujah. The base of it is wide enough to support what's being poured in it, that it don't flow over and out of the cup. When it looks like it's the way he wants it and he desires it to be, then he puts it into the oven and cook it to seal in that perfection in what he did. This is all what God is doing with us in this season. He's breaking us and he's bringing us to the end of ourselves. The word of the Lord said we ought to reckon ourselves to be dead. And we have not reckoned. We very much still alive in a lot of areas. But I can truly say, I believe that the true church, God's church, is dying every single day because it's a sweetness that's come out of us. That's what the sugar cane represents. We sweet now. I remember Apostle Bethia saying to someone, I want you to be sweet. In other words, when she said it then on the surface and it was repeated to me by the person she said it to, I was like, oh, that's nice. But when I think about the sugar cane, what she was saying prophetically, I want you to break. Glory be to God. I want you to be smitten. I want you to be crushed. I want you to be broken and thrown down so the sweetness of God can come out of you. Don't nobody want a cranky Christian that's not sweet ministering to them. And I can tell when we're not broken in areas because when we come across abrupt. We come across bossy. We come across pushy and edgy. And it's not the prophetic, Michelle. Amen. But we come across. When God truly breaks you and rids us of our pride and bring us to a place of humility and bring us to a place where we're yielded and submitted to God, when we are broken, many, many, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God has delivered us out of them all. Above that scripture, he says he's drawn to a broken heart and a contrite spirit. God wants us broken. In other words, he wants us to come to the end of ourselves. And once we're broken, glory be to God, once we've sacrificed our life, because she sacrificed her life in Mark 14, the woman sacrificed her life to get this precious rare oil. She sacrificed everything that she could think of because the anointing of God was worth the sacrifice. And so I would say to you, everything that you're going through right now, everything that you've gone through, everything that you've come up against you in this journey of serving the Lord, is it worth it? Is it worth the sacrifice, this level of anointing that we walk in, that when we recognize that people are bound and can't be free, this level of anointing that God has released on our lives and activated in our lives to flow, can we break and destroy yokes off other people's lives? We can't. We cannot kill flesh if our flesh is not dead. We cannot cause or prophesy obedience if we're not obedient. And we certainly cannot have people break when we're not broken. We cannot talk about humility if we're not humble. So brokenness deals with our pride. It deals with those areas. You see it all the time. How many people at your church? You know, where your church at? And people are very proud. They talk about the building. They talk about how many people that are in the building. They talk about what happens in the building. Well, we got this and we got that. And number of pride. And God want to break us till the only thing comes out of us is, are you saved? Do you know the Lord your God? Come on, somebody. Do you know him as your personal Savior? Do you know him as your deliverer? God going to deliver us from pride as we break and get ourselves made ready for him. Notice after breaking and pride is eliminated, and later on we'll deal a little bit more with pride later on in this lesson. The callousness, all, listen to this. This is the pride part of the sugar cane. And if you've never seen that or witnessed it, the sugar cane stands tall in muddy waters. It stands tall. I know that there were some places, I said it before, I was strong, wrong, nothing but pride and stubbornness. When people begin to stand up in their own selves and won't budge and won't yield and won't be pliable and bend our ear, our heart to God, you are now a sugar cane. You are erected and God is truly going to break you. Prideful people cannot prevent, prideful people cannot experience truly the brokenness or humility that's going to come with that. Truly, truly, pride prevents us from being broken. And we don't want that. You know, as long as we keep pride, we cannot carry a high level of anointing in our lives. We cannot. As long as people, when they ask us about ministry, as long as we keep talking about our building and how many people we have in our building and the programs that come in our building and the choir and the praise team and the instruments and all of these things, as long as we keep doing that, then we're not going to have a high level of anointing. People who walk in what we call a high level of anointing, you better believe that the mixture of the anointing oil in Exodus 30, 22 through 25, we have passed through these anointings. With every success, when every time we passed through the flesh and came to obedience and obedience to brokenness, you better believe God released that anointing on our lives. Amen. And we're very humble. So the word of the Lord talks about, God says in his word that he will consider how pleasure and respect favorably him who has been broken. Listen to this. It says, for it seems to me that God has made an exhibit of his apostles, exposing his apostles to view last of all like men in victory possessions of who they are. They were sentenced to death. They were undisplayed at the end of the line. They became a spectacle to the world. They became an open show for those to see, both men and angels. They became spectators. When people looked on them, they argued that they were fools if they were going to continue to serve God. Hallelujah. But they were amazed and wide and prudent in Christ. When they were weak, he was very strong. When they were highly esteemed, he discredited them and called them to contempt. But when they humbled themselves, he was esteemed. Glory be to God. So this hour that came upon the apostles, they knew after brokenness, as the word of the Lord say, how to be hungry and how to be full, how to be thirsty and how to be replenished. They wore undergarments, they said, one theologian said, one pair of undergarment for a very long time because God was breaking them. They were roughly knocked around and wandered about homelessly. They toiled unto weariness of their own living, hard working with their own hands. Men reviled them and wounded them, cursing them. Hallelujah. They persecuted them and they patiently waited and endured. When they were slandered and defamed, they did not try to defend themselves. They would answer softly and bring comfort. They were made to be rubbish and filth of the world. They were rejected of all things and was considered the scum of the earth. In other words, they had lost their reputation. They did not need the approval of man because they were broken. This is what God wants us to do in this stage of brokenness. He wants us to lose our reputation. He wants us to lose it. We do not have to explain anything to man about the process that God is taking us through. I feel no need as an apostle and an overseer of a ministry to explain ever again, because God is breaking me and has broken me in areas as to why the ministry is not overflowing in 11 years, why this particular assignment that God has given us has not come into fruition. I have no need, because it's God's timing and he knows exactly when it's going to come to pass. He knows the missing ingredients in our life. And if he were to move us into all of the stuff that he has shown us in dreams and visions and prophesied to us with us missing these ingredients, as I said last night, we will be in a whole lot of trouble. So when you get to the place that your reputation, and you're not trying to defend God's reputation, when you get to that place, you'll know that you have been broken. When you're willing to sacrifice years and years and years of your life to bless God. The anointing oil that we're talking about today is brokenness, the sugar cane, or the calamus. And once you're broken, you're humble. Once pride is defeated, you're humble. With every great fall comes great humility. With every great fall comes great humility. God resists the pride. And the word of the Lord said, why are the mighty falling? Why are the prideful falling? Because they're not humble. God is the one that takes up, and God is the one that puts down. So God is taking down mighty men and women all over the country that are operating in pride. God is taking down, or they are falling because of pride. So Cassia, C-A-S-S-I-A, is humility. It is an Aramaic bark of fig, a tree growing in Arabia. It is often used by some doctors as medicine. Cassia derives from the root Hebrew word meaning quadat, means to bend, bow, or stoop. 1 Peter 5 and 6 from a Knox translation says, bow down then before the strong hand of God. He will raise you up when his time to deliver you comes. Cassia speaks of humility. And one of the most prophetic songs that was written was Bow Down. When God himself shows up, there's a level of humility because of the anointing oil that comes on our life will cause us to bow down in majesty. It will cause us to bend. It will cause us to stoop. Glory be to God. When we know that God has graced us or had mercy on us in a situation that we know we utterly should have been hurt or harmed or in jail or dead or sick or whatever the combination is, when God brings us out with a strong hand on our own accord that we messed up, when he brings us out and set us on a solid foundation, we ought to bow down. We ought to humble ourselves for real. Glory be to God. So we bow down before the strong hand of God. He will raise you up when his time to deliver you comes. Humility, pride is not an influence. It is a demon spirit trying to destroy the life of the people of God. We talked about calamus. And then we talked about that briefly, pride, because I really wanted to take a little time to really bring out the tentacles of pride, because it's an ugly, ugly spirit. But we'll do that again later on. But pride is not an influence. Know that it's a haughty spirit, and it's one of the strong men. It's one of the things that hold us captive. We will go further on in a step-by-step of by concerning that. Job 4 and 34, over all pride of earth, he reigns supreme. And I'll give you a little more information concerning that as well. Glory be to God. And that's going to be found in Job 4 and 34. We're going to talk about that particular spirit. Amen. So we ought to be humble. We ought to be humble when it comes down to God. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and in due season, he will exalt you. There's no need for us, you know, not to ever be humble when it comes to the presence of God. And simply because he's God and our ruler, because he's supreme over all things, we ought to ever be humble. We ought to ever, if we look back over our life and simply did an evaluation, who saved our life from destruction, who delivered us from sickness and disease, who set us on a stable foundation, all of these things, all of these little things throughout life that took us from darkness into light, that brought us even from yesterday into today, we really ought to be humble and in awe about how much God loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love, and humility is the trait of God. Being humble, amen. And as I stated last night, when you have gone through so many things in your life, what seemed to be a disadvantage, when it seems like you didn't get a great start in life or somewhere in the midst of life, things started falling apart and it seemed like everything was spiraling out of control. And we seemed aimlessly going through, as the Word of God talked about the apostles and how they were broken. And God did what he had to do because he knew he was trying to bring them to a place of humility. When we've gone through these things, these life shocks, I call them shocks. There are 29 shocks in the spirit in Ecclesiastes 3. And so when we've gone through these different shocks in life, we ought to be ever so humble when God brings us out. That's why I say when it's time to rejoice, you need to rejoice. When it's time to sing, you need to sing. When it's time to dance, you need to dance, because the strong arm of the Lord brought you out of that season that you were in. So know that pride can have no place in our life. It's the very demonic spirit that got Lucifer himself kicked out of heaven when he began to spread his wings and thought it was all about him and he was the one bringing the light, the glory, the music, all of that. You're not doing anything. If I go to work, I can't get it done. If pride always talked about in the kingdom of God is teamwork, and the only star is Christ. He is the bright and morning star, and he does not need any help shining. He shines alone by himself. Glory be to God. Amen. So know that without a shadow of a doubt that we need to do examination of our life and see where that demonic spirit has attached itself or have creeped in unaware, because sometimes we can operate in pride and don't know it. You know, we need to listen to ourselves. And we also need to come to a place where before we say anything, check our motive. How is it being released out of our spirit? Is it being released in a haughty way? Is it being released in a humble way, a sweet way? You know what we say? Are we attacking? Are we offensive? Are we defensive? Do we cause people to be defensive when we come out? We got to check that. Because when you do that, it's a subtle way of being proud of your comment or proud of your answer or proud of this. It is God who reveals to us, even in the teaching. There's nothing in me that can put this kind of thing together or go research this place to pull this information. I'm not that smart, but the Holy Ghost will tell me where to go to bring forth this credible information so that we can be seeing and rid ourselves of what's going on in our lives. So next month, we're going to deal a little bit more with humility. We're going to talk about some traits. When it comes down to humility, we want to be broken some more. We want to be of no reputation, as Christ was of no reputation. Amen. We want to be obedient even unto death. We want to make sure that our flesh is dead, that we're robbing our flesh on a daily basis of it rising up and becoming strong again. We want to be obedient to everything God says. God is always right, and we're forever wrong. Hear me, pride will make you think you're right, but you're not right. And even if you are right and you continue to say or speak or do, even though you're right and God says don't do it, you're still wrong. You're still wrong. Don't take your liberty as a cloak to do wrong. And just because we're free to do a thing in the area, if God say don't do it, and we're absolutely free. Or let me use an example to show you how you can be strong wrong. I never will forget there was a young lady that was a Seventh-day Adventist. And because I had done some research in ministry, we had to study different religions just to know, you know, their culture and their mindset. And I knew that she was a Seventh-day Adventist, and they don't endure pork or anything like that. And I used to eat a sausage and biscuit sandwich periodically. And it just so happened that every day that she would come in, I would eat the sandwich. Now, mind you, I knew that Seventh-day Adventists did not like pork. And so I kept eating it. And one day the Holy Spirit said to me, cover it up when she walks in. Well, I didn't cover it up because it's like, well, how am I going to cover up my, you know, sandwich when she coming in? It's not offensive. And the Holy Ghost said to me, you are dead wrong. Repent and ask for forgiveness and cover it up. So the next time when she came into my office, I had it covered up, and she knew that that's what it was. And I said to her, I said, you know what? I want to ask you to forgive me because that was a stumbling block and an offense to you, because I knew that that was something that your belief system did not endure. And she looked at me with tears in her eyes, and she said, you know what? It didn't offend me at all. She said, but the fact that you will yield yourself your own liberty, that's the exact words, your own liberty to cover that up. She said, you will never know how I appreciate that. We're friends to this day, to this day. So just because you're right, just because you can say it, just because it's the appropriate time to correct or say a thing, does it mean that you need to do it? Not necessarily. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Die to your flesh. Be obedient to God. Humble yourself. Become broken in that area. Glory be to God. And we'll win a whole lot of more people if we continue to do things like that. Remember, if you miss any one of these oils, you're not going to be able to stand against the enemy. We're learning spiritual warfare in a whole nother way. And I bless God for it. The more we know Him, the more we'll be able to withstand the fiery darts of the enemy. I just pray that God has been a blessing to us in this short time on the line. I thank, again, God for you all and your patience and your willingness to eat the word. The word of the Lord said, blessed, weighty, lengthy are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. As I get ready to close out the line and go in prayer, I want you to hear me by the Spirit of God. Because of the time that we're in, and as we look at the news and pay attention to the things that's going on in the earth, this word and years of word and teachings and impartation and lessons that we've learned, this Bible physically and gathering together in buildings is getting ready to be so extinct. We're going to need this in our spirit to sustain us until we're taken up out of this world. Amen. Don't take it for granted. Go back and keep going back until it's in your spirit, the word of God. Because soon and very soon, and we think it's really, really far off, but I'm here to tell you it's not far off. It's closer and nigh than we've ever first believed, this famine for the word of God. And this persecution that the church in America is getting ready to go under. If we take God seriously and understand what He's doing for us right now, when that time of testing comes and the word of the Lord says, he that endure to the end shall be saved or delivered or maintained or endure. He that endureth until the end, to the very end, he shall be saved or taken out. Glory be to God. So go back and listen. Go back and listen. Go back and listen. Go back over notes as God leads you. Go back and get it in your spirit and in your soul, these impartations. I thank God for you. I thank you for another powerful hour of WOW prayer line. I pray that there was an impartation that was made in your spirit that will cause you to reevaluate, realign yourself, rethink some things, refocus, be refreshed, be replenished, be renewed. I pray that God says something that will charge your spirit and make you love God even the more, but yet be strengthened in God. I pray that God says something that will cause you to go get wounded soldiers and encourage warriors that are on the battlefield for the Lord. We're here every Thursday at 11 a.m., except for this month. We're going to be moving on into September the 13th at 11 o'clock on the prayer line. Amen. In September. And I pray that we'll see you there as we close out in prayer. We're going to be ever reminded that even in the rough times, God is with us. Eternal God, our Father, we love you for your word that's been imparted into our lives on today. We thank you for these, your people that are gathered together to hear your voice, Lord God. The mouth is mine, but the word is yours, Lord God. And we thank you that your word is established in the earth realm. Your word is established and rooted in our very souls. We bind up the fowls of the air that will steal this word from us, oh God. Father, with the blood of Jesus, cover this word and protect this word, Lord God. The angels of the Lord are waging war against every fowl and every raven that will come to steal this word. Father, we thank you right now that as your word has entered into our hearts, Lord God, we thank you for light and we thank you for understanding. This word, your word, is forever settled in heaven, and we give you glory for it, Lord God. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will continue to teach us in the way that we should go, oh God, and that we will learn even the more upon you as we take our yoke upon you, Lord God. Father, we thank you that we are obedient. We thank you that our flesh is crucified, Lord God. We thank you that we're humble, Lord God, and we thank you that you are breaking us and making us and molding us into the men and women that you called us to be, Lord God. I release the favor of the Almighty God to rest upon the lives of these your people like never before. From one lesson and one teaching to another, we thank you that we have clarity of mind. We thank you that we hear the voice of the Lord our God only, and a strange voice we will not follow. We back up with the blood of Jesus Christ every seducing spirit that will try to draw us away and draw our affection away from you. For you are our God, and besides you, there's none other in all the earth. We love you, we appreciate you, and we give you all praise, honor, and glory. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen, and praise God. If you want to sow into WOW Ministry on a monthly, weekly, or one-time seed, you can send your seed, check a money order, to 3529 Wisconsin Avenue, Vicksburg, Mississippi, 39180. And please put in the memo part, WOW Ministry. Amen. We thank you. God gives seed to the sower. We appreciate you, and we give God the glory and the honor. Amen.